Reading from God's holy word today, first in the prophet Isaiah, we're in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, and we are hearing the first few verses. Some of us will recognize a few of these stanzas. They sort of found their way into Handel's Messiah. Not that he invented them, but in reading the scripture, that's where Handel got inspired to write the Messiah. So here, what Isaiah tells us God is giving as prophecy to the people in Judah. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. Grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. And we're reading from the second letter to Paul. We're in the third chapter. We're just sort of picking one little thing, or second letter of Peter, excuse me, right there, right? Just a little bit of it in the third chapter, verses 8 to halfway through 15. But hear then what Peter has to say. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. The day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. And the gospel lesson comes from the gospel according to Mark. Last Sunday I read a little bit from Mark and said that we really won't hear much when we get close to the nativity from Mark, because he doesn't have a birth story in his gospel. We are reading the very first chapter, starting with the very first verse. And we remember, those of us who were in the Bible study in the fall, this is the only gospel that identifies itself as being a gospel. And here it is, the title. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Here ends our reading from God's holy word. Let us pray. Oh God, I ask that you bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that it might be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I am enjoying the beautiful banners that we have for Advent. All of them are beautiful, but the new ones. Last week we only had hope up there. This week we have peace, and every week we light a candle and we get a new word. And so I wanted to try and focus on those words for the sermons. But it seemed like when I was reading the scriptures, I thought, well, this really doesn't have a whole lot about peace. It's all about sin and repentance and... I think, though, it's also about peace, because we heard the words there in Isaiah and a little bit in 2 Peter. Repent, to turn around, to stop doing what you're doing, to stop going the way you're going, and turn around and go the other direction. Sin is that which we do, whether with expectation, plan, and forethought, or accidentally, that causes harm to ourselves, to another, or to the realm of God. John is encouraging people to repent their sins, to turn away from their sinful patterns, that they might be ready for God's coming. And in God's coming, there is peace. Wow. I love listening to Christmas music. We have a massive collection of CDs. I was really blessed that last year Santa Claus gave my husband a new CD player that'll play 6 of them, so I can put a whole bunch on and just let the house rock. And there's a lot of beautiful music out there, and there's a lot that talks about peace on earth and no more war and fighting injustices and making sure that the hungry are fed and all those things that contribute to there being peace. But I'm also aware that the only change any of us can ever affect is the change within ourselves. The only change that we can really make happen is when we change our hearts, our minds, our actions, our bodies, whatever it is. We can want others to change. We can work within the context of community and family to affect changes, to stand against injustice, to work to feed the hungry. But the only true control we have of change is within ourselves. Why would our sinful patterns get in the way of God's coming into our lives? Why would it matter so much to John and Peter and Isaiah that we work to eliminate within our lives sin? Well, it seems to me that when I sin, a lot of people get hurt. The person whom I sinned against because I caused them offense or pain, always, I hope, thoughtlessly, but I say something that comes out wrong, they get hurt. I get hurt because when I realize that I've done something that's harmed another, I feel bad about myself because that wasn't my intention. So my self-esteem, if you will, goes down a couple notches. I carry that with me, the guilt, the regret, become stones in my pocket, weigh me down. And then because that's not what God wants for us, God gets hurt. Sin causes pain, it causes brokenness. It interferes in relationships because the person I hurt is now not as open to me. Perhaps a little more defensive in their behaviors, or maybe they hear whatever criticisms or perceptions they have from their previous encounter with me in their encounter with me now. And so our relationship isn't as healthy and as whole as it could be going forward. Our relationship with God gets broken easily too, more on our part than on God's. We feel the judgment that we place on ourselves for not living up to what God desires, and so we start kind of eking away a little bit. That's not what God wants. That's why God was willing to come to us as Jesus of Nazareth, to teach us a different way, to bring us healing, to bring us hope, to bring us peace. So what does peace really have to do with sin? Well, when we work to change our patterns of behavior so that we sin less, when we work to heal our own places of brokenness, when we work for forgiveness, when we seek forgiveness for those we've harmed so that there might be restoration to relationships, or maybe just forgiving ourselves for having done something, then that healing begins. That place that's all wounded and nasty starts getting healthy, whole. And as it said in our song, then our hearts are open to be able to receive fully the presence of Christ, that Christ's peace might come within us. Peace that helps us accept life, to be content, to have less defensiveness, thicker skin maybe. Helps us to see places where justice is lacking, see places where need is great, see within ourselves that we possess gifts in abundance to bring to those places, to see that we really are part of God's realm, that we too can keep peace within ourselves, within our family systems, within our community systems, and even maybe internationally as well. Peace starts within ourselves. Peace is a gift we give to others. Peace. Peace represents people who are self-aware enough, who want to work for change within themselves, who want to heal and be part of a realm that offers grace, mercy, hope, peace, that there might be joy and love. Turn around. Change the way you're going. Haven't you done that in your life? Haven't you found healing? Isn't it amazing? Do you have other places that also need healing? Are there others in your life to whom you can extend healing? With whom you can gift peace? God gives us peace like no one else can. But God gives it to us in such abundance that when we're willing to open up, to receive, we have more than enough to share. May we know peace today. Amen.